Okay, so we're up to Parsha Zachor, coming to the end of a long 6 month, the winter's month, standing now on the eve of Parsha Zachor and Purim. And I want to try to discuss an idea about Amalek, what Amalek represents, and how we can relate that to our Avodah, things that we should really be working on all the time. And hopefully we've enhanced them over our time in Eretz Yisrael already. The Pasuk says, Leitz Take Upesi Yarim. And the Medrash learns this Pasuk, Leitz Take, the Medrash says, is talking about Amalek, that Hashem was Makeh, Hashem gave a Makeh to the Leitz, the scoffer, the person who makes light of things. Amalek is referred to as a Leitz. So, first of all, what does that mean? Why is Amalek called the Leitz? Where do we see Leitz Sanus in Amalek's Hanhagas with us? And Leitz Take, the Medrash at least, is relating it to what happens at the end of Parshas Bishalach, the laning from Purim in the morning, that Hashem hit the Leitz, Amalek, when Amalek came and fought against us when we left Mitzrayim. So that was a Leitz Sanus, what they were doing. There was a Leitz Sanus. So the question is, what is Leitz Sanus? Where do we see what Amalek was doing Leitz Sanus? Where do we see that? What's the Medrash telling us? So Rav Huttner has a famous maimer at the beginning of his Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, where he explains that we all have two opposing kochos within us. One of them, we have the koach to appreciate chashivos in things, in people, in situations, in circumstances, in life, to be machshiv things, to attribute importance to things. That's one koach. And the opposite koach is we have the koach to knock things down, to make light of things, make light of people, make light of situations, detract from their importance, deny their importance, negate their importance. You know, the former koach, if it's used properly, if we're able to strengthen that koach, it gives us the ability to build ourselves, to build other people, appreciate different aspects of life, appreciate our avoda. And the latter koach, the one that knocks things down, dismantles things, doesn't want us to ever acknowledge the importance of anything. As one of the guys in the yeshiva, this is going back a while, not Gesher, one of the guys in the yeshiva said to me, and we still joke about it from time to time, he said to me, Rabbi, you don't get it. When I was secular, I didn't care about anything. Nothing. Nothing. I didn't care about anything. Nothing was important. Nothing meant anything to me. Right? When I was a secular person, nothing meant anything to me. Right? We all have that koach inside of us that's trying to make us feel that nothing is worthy of our attention, nothing is important, nothing's chashuv. And that koach is a very destructive koach that gets in the way of our avodah, gets in the way of our avodah Hashem, gets in the way of our building ourselves. And to the extent that our intellect is able to deny or to negate the importance of a topic, of a person, of a situation, so then the less deference the topic is deserving, and the more we're able to just sort of do whatever we want, unencumbered by the realization of the chashivas around us, and the chashivas that dictates that we should be behaving a certain way, if we're able to just deny that importance and not pay attention to it and ignore it, then we can behave however we see fit. Now, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, so there were the Makos, there was Kriyas Yamsuf, there was clearly an important thing that was taking place. There was an important nation that was leaving Mitzrayim, we had been selected by Hashem, everybody was talking about it, then the Shira Sayam, we talk about how all the nations were terrified when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were scared, everybody knew what was going on, Hashem was breaking the laws of nature on our behalf, and Chazal compared it to a boiling bath. Like, people were scared, they were terrified. Everyone knew what was going on. Everyone was able to attribute importance to Klal Yisrael and what Klal Yisrael represented as the representatives of Hashem in the world. And that whole idea of attributing importance to Klal Yisrael and what was going on amongst the other nations, that was infuriating to Amalek. Amalek didn't want anything to do with that. Amalek was a Leitz. A Leitz means you're unable to appreciate Chashivos in anything. You don't want to see Chashivos in anything. That was Amalek. And when they came to fight us, what they were doing is they were trying to make light of us. They were trying to be mezalzel in us, not appreciate chashivos, not see anything chashuv in what was going on with Klal Yisrael at the time. Right? The only way they could think of, the only method they had to poke. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you very much. The only method they had, that's what happens at other mishmars. This is not a thing. It's the same nekuda. Same Nakuda. Yeah, those guys. Okay, but the only way they could poke a hole in the structure of Chashivos that Hashem had been building was to fight against us. It was like an act of defiance. It was an act of defiance to show they're not Machshavos. They're not Machshav what we represent. They're not Machshav anything. That's the late sonos of Amalek. That's what the Medrash is saying. That's where the late sonos. You see it is by Amalek's. Their unwillingness to recognize the chashivos that Klai Yisrael presented and coming to fight against us as a result of that. Now, in our lives as Ovdei Hashem, so we need to make sure that we're always enhancing our koach to appreciate importance, attributing importance to things. Right? One measure of the chashivos, one measure of a person's growth is the extent to which they can see importance in all these different places. A secular person, or at least this person who was talking to me, nothing matters. Absolutely nothing matters. Nothing is chashuv, nothing is worthy of my attention, nothing is worthy of effort, nothing is chashuv. Just do whatever you want. We want to attribute importance to more and more things as we grow. And that's what we want to be doing. And the avoda is, as we succeed in strengthening our koach to attribute and to recognize chashivos, we have to make sure that we're exercising that koach in the right places. That's what we need to be doing. And the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Mitzaref lekesef v'kor lezahav v'ish lefi mahalalo." A refining pot is for silver, and a crucible is for gold, and a man is according to his praises. And the pasuk in Mishlei is basically saying the same way we can use these items—a refining pot, a crucible—to determine the quality, the purity of precious metals. You can use mahalalo, something about praises, to determine the quality, the purity of people. What does that mean? How do you use hilul? How do you use praise to determine the quality, the purity of people? So most of the mefarshim learn over there in Mishlei, most of the mefarshim learn it means that you can tell a lot about a person, you can assess where the person's holding based on how people praise him, what they say about him, right? Whatever people, if a lot of people are saying that so-and-so is X, so it's probably true. Maybe he's a great charlatan, he's able to trick everybody, but more likely, Ishafi Mahalalo, right? To the extent that people are praising him, that's where he's holding, that's true, that's where he is. But Rabbeinu Yonah, on that pasuk in Mishlei, learns the pasuk a different way. He says, Ishafi Mahalalo means you can tell a tremendous amount about a person by what that person praises. What does he praise? What does he talk about? What does he like? What does he get excited about? What does he discuss? Right, you want to know where a person's holding? See what they talk about. What gets them worked up? What gets them excited? What gets them animated? That's how you can know where a person is holding. You know, this idea of assessing a person, right? Using your koach hachashivos in the right places, this ability to attribute chashivos, being the opposite of a leitz, the opposite of a malek, right? And realizing that things are chashuv, okay, but what are you machshiv? What do you decide is chashuv? How do I determine where a person's holding? By what they're machshiv, right? If you're like Amalek, nothing is chashuv, okay. But once you decide things are chashuv, you're working on your koach of chashivos, make sure that you exercise it in the proper places. How do we determine where a person is holding? By what they like to praise, what they like to talk about, what do they machshiv, what do they get excited about? You know, when I was in my earlier years here in Eretz Yisrael, when I first came here, I experience this in the sense that, you know, if you live in a community where people are growth oriented, so the topics of conversation are just different from in other places. You know, like first of all, you yourself are involved in conversations that have a lot more to do with dvarim that are be'etzem chashuv. You're talking about learning. You're talking about chidushim on the parsha. You know, talking about realizations you may have had in your avoda, in Midos. Like, people will just come over to you and say, you know, did you see this Rashi in the Parsha? What did you think about that? Did you have pshat? I had a problem with it. You know, or someone come over to you and, like, this happened to me in Shul, actually, last Leil Shabbos, on the way out, someone who I don't even know so well, you know, came over to me and said, you know, it says that the Mishkan, that it's called, the Mishkan is called, it's like a mashkon. Hashem took it as a mashkon for the kapara for Klal Yisrael. How exactly is it a mashkon? What does it mean? It's like on the way out of Shul. I barely know the guy, right? Like, but that's what people are talking about. That's what people discuss. That's what they like. That's what they like to discuss. and then when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, again, that was not something I had experienced as a kid. And then, you know, sometimes when I would find myself in other communities that were less growth-oriented, so the conversations were very different. The things that people are mahalal, the things that people would talk about, the things that people would get excited about were very different. You know, people are talking more about deals that they did, how much money they made, They're talking a lot about sports, a lot about, you know, heroic acts of theirs in the workplace, how great they did in their surgeries this week, and the in court this week, and whatever happened in basketball and golf and all the different things people are talking about. People are getting excited about and discussing very different kinds of things. You know, like made me like, you know, think back when I was younger, and when I was younger, you know, watching sports and like just the way that the announcers, you know, like there's a home run or like an interception, like people are going crazy. People are going crazy. You know, they're screaming and everybody's jumping up and clapping. Like, what are you doing? What this is what's chashuv. This is what it's all about. This is what your life is about. This is what you're so excited about. Again, I'm not coming to say, just to be clear, I'm not coming to say that sports is a bad thing. I'm not saying coming to say that talking about business deals is a bad thing. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the question is, like, this is where the action is. This is the majority of stuff that you talk about is stuff like that. The majority of things that get you excited are things like that. That means like your entire chashivos is in the wrong place. Like you're being machshiv things that you shouldn't be machshiv. To follow sports as a hobby, it's a nice diversion. Okay, knock yourself out, right? But ad kedei kach, everybody's going crazy. Like everybody's, I mean, come on. What are you joking? What are you talking about? What is this? You know or stam. Sometimes you hear people talking about the king. To ish lefi mahalalo, right? You can shots up a person based on where they attribute chashivos. What do they talk about? What do they praise? For what duration of time do they talk about this topic? How excited do they get? It's like some people sometimes describe like a certain dish that they had, or a restaurant that they went to, with so much detail. It's like halavai when you discuss the Rashba, you would talk like that. Like the steak, and it was like this, and it was like that. Give me a break. It's a piece of meat. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it, but ad kedei kach, the restaurant, or like the hotel that I stayed at, and the pillows. Like, give me a break. What are you talking about? The pillows, you know, the pool, the shower. You see the shower head. Unbelievable. I mean, these things happen. Right? And like, it's like, wait a second. Ish lefi mahalalo, that's what I want to be mahalal. That's what I want to praise. That's what I want to be machshiv. That's really where I want to, that's where I want to situate myself. Right? So much of where a person is holding, the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, you can tell so much about what a person is mahalal. What do they spend time talking about? What do they get excited about? A shower head? An interception? Are you kidding? What? Really? Really? You're getting worked up about that? It's sad. It's sad. You know, Rav Huttner, when he talks about this concept, he writes that based on this, and this is a couple of implications, ramifications of this idea, he says that based on this idea, you can have people in the middle of their lives. Let's say you have two guys. One of the guys spent the last 20 years learning. He's in Kollel, he's 40 years old now. The other guy, you know, they were together in yeshiva, 18, 19, 20, and then they went different ways. The other guy went out making parnasa. He's 40 years old also, made good parnasa. The other guy did not make a lot of parnasa, was learning. And now each one of them is 40 years old. And the guy who was working all these years starts to think to himself, gosh, like, I could have done so much more in learning. This is so sad. Like, okay, I have all this financial security, which is great, but I don't know. I mean, I really feel like I could have done so much more in my learning. Chaval. You know, and he's looking over at his friend or other people who spend more time learning and really regretting his decisions and really being machshiv Torah to a tremendous extent and regretting some of the decisions that he made. And the Kollel guy is having the same feeling, just in the opposite. Gosh, you know, I spent all this time learning. Okay, I know a tremendous amount and I have ridiculous number of mitzvos from the last 20 years of learning, but like, I don't know, it'd be nice to have more cash. I don't know. Money, you know, I never made a name for myself in the secular world. I don't really have any money. I don't know. Maybe I could have made opposite decisions. So Rav Huttner says it's a very powerful idea. Such a powerful idea based on this pasuk, based on the Rabbeinu Yonah is learning it at that point in time, irrespective of what they did for the last 20 years. The working guy, the career guy, is closer to Torah than the Torah guy. Yeah, the Torah guy knows a lot more, he has a lot more knowledge, but at that moment, at that point in time, when they're having those feelings, gosh, maybe I should have, right? The Torah guy is being mahalel, he's praising the money, he's praising the career, he's praising the achievement in the secular world. And the Torah, and the, I'm sorry, and the working guy is doing the opposite. At that point in time, right, they've traded places because of what their machshiv, where their headspace is, what they're thinking about, Years ago, I heard from a Rebbe of mine. He was talking about living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Chutz Laretz, it's a whole thing. The first few years that we were here, it was very touch and go, definitely very touch and go. And I remember one of my rebbeim saying, like, it is much better to be in Chutz Laretz wishing you were here than to be here wishing you were in Chutz Laretz. Like, that is not a thing. You don't want to be here wishing you were in Chutz Laretz. That is not a place you want to be. Right? Even though your body is situated in Eretz Yisrael, if you wish you were in Chutz Laretz because you could have a bigger house and it'll be so much more comfortable and all that, so then your values, but you're being mahalel is the American stuff. Okay, your body happens to be in Jerusalem, very nice. But lemaisa, your headspace and your hilul is of the opposite. And if you're in a big house in New Jersey somewhere, because I wish I was in Eretz Yisrael with all the kedusha and all of that, right? Lemaisa, you didn't do that because you didn't think you could swing it. Fine. But your values are really in that place and you wish you could be there. So in a certain sense, your koach ahilul, right? What your b'machshiv, where your values are situated is more Eretz Yisraelic. Right? So this idea of ishlefi mahalalo means that you're holding where your values are. You're holding where you wish you could be. That's where you are. Irrespective of where you happen to actually be, a large part of how we would shatz you up at any moment is based on what your aspirations are, what you wish could be, what you're mahalal, what you're praising. It's stam, in our own self-awareness of where we're holding at any given point in time, to pay a lot of attention to where our headspace is, not where we happen to actually be. Right? That's some counterintuitive. We would think, I'm holding where I am. Now, ishlefi mahalalo, Rav Huttner is trying to say, dictates that you're holding where you wish you could be. That you're holding by what you appreciate, by what, irrespective of where you happen to be right now, that's the complexities of life, wherever you happen to be situated right now, at this point in time, it's lefi mahalalo. It's what you praise, what you wish, where you wish you could be. This idea also, not only in terms of self-awareness, it also comes up with regard to using this ish lefi mahalalo, not only to assess ourselves, but also to assess other people. You know, a person trying to figure out, you know, what kind of friends you want to have, who you want to hang out with, how do you determine who your friends should be, how do you determine what their values are, what they stand for, so you can tell a tremendous amount about a person by what they talk about. What do they speak about? What are they? If they're going to start a conversation, what's it going to be about? Right? If you have the achrayis, you start the conversation. Where's that going to go? So if you're nervous where it's going to go, then you probably shouldn't be so close to that person. Right? If you think that if he has the ability to start a conversation, it's going to be about something of meaning, something deep, something connected to something meaningful, Torah, midos, something real. So that means that's a good person. He's mahalo. That those are his values. That's where he's holding. Right, it's not like, you know, like you have those friends where like you could say a Dvar Torah in front of them and like it won't be awkward. And then there's people like, if I say a Dvar Torah, somebody's like, why are you doing that? It's like, you know, like if you have people like you say a Dvar Torah, it's sort of like, I don't know, that was sort of strange. So that shouldn't be, right? That means the person doesn't have a hilul for Torah. It's strange to mention Torah in front of that person. So then, I don't know, there's something there. there's something there. Whatever, or you bring up a topic, you know, about that's more midos related, growth related. How do they respond to that? They have something to contribute. They get excited about it, or they sort of switch the topic to some mundane issue. So then, stam, right? You can assess where a person is holding also based on what their mahalil. You know, I might have said this story in some other context this year. I'm not sure, but stam, years ago, I was at a levaya for a very wealthy man. And he was very old at the time. He was Nifter, Baruch Hashem. And many, many years ago, he was very wealthy. And at that time, international phone calls were extremely expensive. And he had a business partner in Switzerland, and they would speak on the phone all the time. And his son was saying at the Levaya, the son who was speaking at the Levaya was saying, how it was amazing watching his father, because this guy in Switzerland, they were business partners, and they also were chavrusas. So when they would speak on the phone, when they would speak in learning or be sharing the Divrei Torah with one another, it was like they had all the time in the world. They would speak slowly, ask, you know, clarification questions. It was like a whole comfortable conversation. And then they would have to talk about the business stuff, and it was quick. Okay, we buy, sell that. Yeah, quick. What should we do? It was almost like, you know, when it came to actually discussing the business, oh my gosh, you know, this is a long distance phone call. It's expensive. You know, but when it came to talking about Torah, it was a totally different thing. And the son was saying also that his father, you know, as he was giving over the business to this person who was speaking and some brothers of his, whatever, he was saying how, you know, whenever they spoke about business with their father, as they were being brought into the business, like it was shortened to the point, father wasn't very excited, it was what it was, very matter of fact. And we ask his sons, they came from yeshiva, like, what did you learn? What sugi are you in? Tell me something you heard from your Rebbe. Like, he was smiling. He was so happy. Like, that's what his life was about. Even though he was made a lot of money, that wasn't what he was mahalil. That wasn't what was chashuv by him. Like, we have the capacity to convey tremendous volumes about what's chashuv to us based on the way we talk, how we talk, what we get excited about, how we look when we talk about these things. Obviously, this is a very chashuv also in shiduchim when you're talking, meeting girls and talking to them, and then same thing. Like, if you can't say a dvar Torah comfortably in front of this girl, you don't want to marry her. Like, that's not a good thing, right? If you start talking about aspects of growth or midos or musar, and she has nothing to contribute, there's nothing to talk about, there's not, like, nobody home, never thought about that before, that's not a good thing, right? Based on the interactions that you're having, right, does she get excited? Even if she doesn't contribute, does she get excited about it? Is she mahalil the things that you are mahalil? Right? If she's mahalil the things that you are mahalil, there's more to work with. There's something more to talk about. And if not, so then maybe not. And the other place where this is, they're all relevant, but the other place where you can use the koach hahilul, not only in assessing where you're holding, not only assessing where people around you are holding, but you can use the koach hahilul, right, to give your values over to other people, right? You can use the koach hahilul to give your values over to your children, right? That is to say, a lot of times people think, I don't know, parents are uncomfortable, you know, I don't know, it's 2022, who am I to tell my kids? Why should I tell them what to do? I'll just live my life, I'll just do what I do, and my values will go in by osmosis. So that might be true, but there's no reason not to use your koach of hilul, talk about things, talk about what's important to you, talk to your kids, tell them, explain to them why this person is a role model of yours in learning, this person is a role model in yashrus in business, this person is a role model in consideration to other people. Point these things out to your kids, show that you're machshiv that. Don't just say, that guy is loaded. Don't say that. That's not what you want to say to your kids. Do not say that. That is not good. Look, that girl is gorgeous. Do not say that. That's not a thing. That's not. Why are you saying that? Don't say that to your kids. Right? You have the ability to give over to your kids tremendous values by what you're mahalil, what you decide to talk about with them, what you get excited about when you're talking to them. You know, if you have kids in the house and you know, the father, like, gets, you know, super excited to go through the sports pages or to look at the sports, you know, websites, and is getting all crazy, you know, that his team won whatever the thing is, and then, like, he falls asleep in front of a sefer, you know, when he sits down with a sefer at night, like, what message are you giving to your kids? Like, you're falling asleep in front of the sefer, you're all worked up about the latest deal on the plasma TV. I don't know, I just thought of that now. I don't know. Right? Like, you're all worked up about the plasma TV, you're falling asleep, I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. You're falling asleep, I don't know, you're falling asleep in front of your sefer, like, you're being machshiv the wrong things, you're being mahalil the wrong things. You're giving over to your kids messages that you really don't want to be giving to them. There's so many things that you can give over to your children by virtue of what you're mahalil, what you praise, what you get excited about. Right, you want your kids to see that that you're excited about the right kinds of things, that you're talking about divrei moser, pointing out tremendous chesed that people do, tzedakah that people give, mitzvahs that people are doing, the way people put themselves out for other people, expressing amazement, expressing astonishment at how far other Jews are willing to go for other Jews, how far people are willing to be mashkia in their learning, how far people are willing to be moser nefesh for other people. Your kid sees you're extremely exhausted and you still go out to the shir that you go to, whatever. Those are the kinds of things where you're giving over the chashivos, the proper values to your kids. The idea of being able to explicitly use this koach of hilul to be mahalil things and to convey messages to your kids, you know, that cannot be overstated. It's extremely, extremely powerful. And Stam, we have to realize that we're constantly giving messages to other people about what's chashuv to us by virtue of the decisions we make, the conversations we enter into, and the excitement, how much time we spend talking about certain things, and how excited we get when we talk about those things. You know, and to the extent that you sort of realize that there's so much going on around us, certain conversations that are taking place, discussions that are happening, that have such different starting assumptions about what life is about, what's chashuv in life, what's worthy of talking about, what's worthy of investing time and energy in, and to make sure that, stam, number one, we move very far away from the late sonos of Amalek, we want to be machshiv things, we want to give chashivas to things, and then make sure we're giving chashivas to the right things. Make sure that your chashivas is in the right place. Make sure that it's situated properly. Make sure that when you're making decisions, not only with your time, also with your money, right? You show so much to your kids based on how you spend your money. You know, people who will decide, you know, not to spend money when it comes to mitzvos and things like that, or barely, you know, skimp when it comes to buying, you know, a lulav or tefillin or whatever. And then when it comes to buying, I mean, I spoke about this in the past, but same idea, buying a sweater, buying, I don't know, some other article of clothing, you spend a ridiculous amount of money. Like, what are you saying to your kids? They pay attention to this stuff. They totally do. Not when they're 4, not when they're 6, 10, 11, 12. They are paying attention to everything. Right? So, you know, I don't know. You know, all of a sudden, when it comes time to buy a lulav, you know, daddy goes to the store and, you know, buys this, you know, the cheapest thing possible. I'm there. I saw what he did. You know, but all of a sudden, when it's time to buy a new suit, I don't know, he seems to have $1,000 for a suit. Right? I guess suits are important and lulav is not important. Right? Like, you're giving messages over to your kids all the time with the things that you're mahalal. You can be mahalal it with money. You can mahalal it with your words. Mahalal it with your time that you invest. And make sure that we realize that whenever we're deciding what to talk about, how to spend our time, how to spend our money, those are value judgments that we're making. And we're conveying those value judgments to everybody who sees us, especially our children who look up to us, who are looking to us for guidance in what their values should be. We should be zochet to get away from, to erase the late sonos of Amalek, to gravitate towards as much chashivos as possible, and to make sure that we concentrate that chashivos in the proper places.
Amen.